Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk. Tackling the stigma.
Yeah, and welcome to another edition of Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. Really busy show today. Lots to crack on with. Today marks the start of Children's Mental Health Week. We'll talk about some great work which is being done to help children who've got mental health issues. When do those mental health issues start? How can they be stopped? And if they do continue, how can we go about getting them into treatments as soon as possible? And then what are the long-term benefits of preventing young people from suffering from instances of mental health problems in the first place, but also getting them into treatment and allowing them to grow up and then have their teenage years maybe in a different way than they would have had if they didn't get that treatment. That conversation and more. Plus, we'll talk about the incredibly successful Time to Talk event, which was last Thursday, and it was all about talking about mental health issues in public. Now, that was used as an opportunity by the Young Persons Advisory Service here in Liverpool to open a new community hub. We crossed live to that hub on Thursday. You can hear what was said at that hub and in that meeting with Luciana Berger and the team from YPass on this programme between now and the end of the show. So there's lots to talk about. I just wanted to mention, though, there was an important meeting in the Houses of Parliament, in the corridors of power. There was a health committee on the UK suicide prevention strategy. A whole host of different things were raised about what we can do to prevent suicides. And then one of the issues that was raised was about how the media can respond and what the media can do. And I'm very pleased to say the Radio City Talk, Radio City and Mental Health Monday got a mention in that meeting. Let's take a listen.
But I don't think, Chair, we should just look at the dark side of the media. I'm sure Luciana is as proud of this as I am, that one of our local radio stations in Liverpool, we've both appeared on it, is doing half an hour every Monday on mental health issues, destigmatising, bringing things out into the open. So I think we should, as well, dealing with those problems that Ruth has, and you have outlined, we also ought to be saying to the press, if Radio City can do it, why can't a lot more? Because that just brings the use of language. For example, I apologised. I had accused a Labour member of being a nutter. And it was totally inappropriate language. I could have bitten my tongue off after I said it, and I won't do it again. But that is a word in common usage, and if I use it, that permits other people to use it. So the media can be a very powerful tool if we engage it and enable it. If we just treat it as the enemy, then I think we won't take full advantage of it.
I think it's worth putting on record that at a previous session we welcomed the Mind Media Awards, for example, that does celebrate the excellent contribution of all forms of media that do great work in that regard, including Radio City, that as you mentioned.
Yeah. There you go, that's Luciana Berger, the Wavertree MP. Before that, we heard from Liverpool councillor from the Lib Dems, Richard Kemp. So a warning to our next guest that if you say anything on this programme, it could be talked about in the corridors of power. Let's welcome our guest for this week's Mental Health Monday to the studio, Dr Simon Lewis. It's great to see you, a clinical psychologist. Great to see you. We have with us as well Val O'Donnell from the Young Persons Advisory Service. Val, you've got plenty of YPass coverage on the show today. And Natalie Vaughan is with us as well from Bully Busters. Natalie, great to see you as well. Mental Health Week for Children this week. Because you're the furthest to the left, I always start with the person sat in your chair.
That's me.
Dr. Simon. Children, mental health issues in children. It's a concern. It starts at a very early age, maybe much younger than people would consider. Obviously, people have always been concerned about teenagers, maybe things that teenagers are saying and doing. I was very surprised to hear people talking about young people, helping young people from the age of 6 and 7, and that being something
then,
which is, yeah, that becoming quite a normal thing that a 6 or 7-year-old, but before then even.
Yeah, we run a really successful perinatal mental health service as well, so we're thinking about the mental health of children and infants and mothers from the very, very beginning. This is a huge need for that kind of input. So we work in Liverpool from naught all the way up to 25. That's our age range.
So at what point then are you making assessments of somebody's mental health?
That's a good question. I guess we're all assessing our own mental health all the time and assessing each other's mental health. I guess it depends what you mean by an assessment. There's all sorts of ways of assessing people. I guess whether it's teachers saying we think that so-and-so is struggling, or whether parents are saying this doesn't feel right, or whether young people themselves are saying this, I'm not able to do the things that I'd like to be able to do. So there's all sorts of ways of assessing, but I guess the formal assessment that most people mean, it can happen at any age.
Some of the issues, and as part of Mental Health Week, Childline have come up with some figures, and they're deeply concerning, although they do show that actually young people, if they do have an issue, are in many ways quite willing to speak out about it. 50,000 people calling Childline. You think that's a concerning number, but that's 50,000 young people who've been brave enough to pick up a phone, Val, and say, you know what, I might need a little bit of help here. Some of the things that they've been talking about, suicidal feelings, self-harm, and depressive disorders as well. Their age between 12 and 15, that they're saying, more than a third of them were in that category there. In your own experience, that idea of, you know, let's use 4, 5, 6, is that a start point in terms of dealing with young people with mental health issues?
Yeah, well, we offer counselling services to young as 5 in every primary school in Liverpool, between us and PSS. So the teachers are picking up young people that are anxious, depressed, or it could be behaviour or conduct. So the teachers will identify it, and then we'll start working with the young people as young as that, because it could be just simple things that are going on at home, or more domestic violence, things like that, and the young people are experiencing these. Family breakdowns, bereavement. There's lots of different things that as young as primary school children are experiencing.
The mental health field, we know, and we've talked about this on the programme a lot, could be so huge. But that idea of anxiety, is that one of those early signs that actually anxiety, if that goes unchecked, can lead into 1,001 different directions? Is that a good start point, if you like, to look at anxiety in children?
Anxiety is a big one, one of the main presenting issues, and a lot of it's caused by bullying. So, you know, a lot of the young people are getting bullied in school, and they don't want to go to school, so they'll be saying they're sick, they don't want to go in, they self-exclude. So, you know, anxiety is a big one, where we have to physically get an action plan with the young person to get them going back to school.
There's huge pressures in school, aren't there?
Massive, yeah.
So academic ones, social ones, it seems to be getting more and more pressure on young people.
Well, let's bring Natalie in from Bully Busters. Natalie, it's great to have you on the programme. I wonder whether or not, you know, bullying, if someone said, what does bullying look like? It's a group of kids stood around a smaller kid going, no. But then you think, well, it's wider than that, because actually you can be bullied by images that you see, can't you? You can be bullied by perception that you're supposed to have. You can almost be bullied online through social media.
Yeah, and there's the non-verbal bullying. We ask young people for every school that we attend. And we attend schools and young people right from age 4, right up to age 18 to 19. And right from age 4, we're saying to them, if you've got those feelings and you need somebody to talk to, it is best to talk to your safe hand. And on that safe hand, we tell them to have 5 adults. Every young person's safe hand is going to be a little bit different. Mums or dads, nans and granddads. Sometimes they have the pets on there, anything. But it's important that as soon as they get them feelings, that someone is there for them to talk to, and then that hopefully then will help them, you know, to have a little bit more coping strategies, a little bit more resilience, you know, to deal with things, and I mean to talk about things rather than facing any shame or embarrassment. But working with bullying though, there is, you know, the external factors, you know, everything what Val was saying as well. So age like 12 to 15 is probably, you know, your toughest ages anyway. You've got your changes of schools, friendship groups, you know, you're finding yourself, you're finding who you are, you know, and you don't know, you know, what like you want to do tomorrow, never mind about what options you want to take through school. So if like somebody is, you know, just poking at someone or, you know, upsetting someone, then that can then become a massive issue. And then that then can have, you know, such a negative impact upon one young person without them even realising it.
What have you seen, or what's been your experience of seeing a young person who's been dealing with I'm not going to say it's a trivial bullying matter, because no bullying is ever trivial, but, you know, what you would class as a standard bullying in the classroom, but it's escalated, that the problem hasn't been dealt with.
Well, what we say to young people is, you know, everyone is totally, totally different. We always say about, you know, the importance of everyone being totally unique. So, like, what upsets me mightn't bother you. You know, what devastates Simon, I might find really funny. You know, everyone is so different. So we say that as soon as you are not comfortable with it, it's about giving them the confidence to be able to say, I'm not happy with this, I am not happy with that. And then we also say to the other young people as well, it is about respecting somebody. You know, somebody's views, somebody's opinions, somebody's feelings, even if they're very different to yours. So that is why we always say to them, you know, to always speak to us, you know, and then no matter how big or small it is, we're going to treat everything you know, with the same level of importance.
I mean, yes, you've got generations of young people. There will always be young people, so there'll always be the need to have that conversation about bullying, which you might drive you a little bit, you know, up the wall, because you're constantly thinking, well, here come the next cohort. There's always a new generation of young people
and
coming
through.
There's
always a new little trend. There's always a new bullying
trend. Well, I was going to say, what's on at the moment? What are young people dealing? People always say social media. It's almost like a cop-out response to just blame social media for everything. But what is it specifically that is happening that's
cyber
making
bullying
things difficult for young people now?
And there's more of an opportunity, isn't there? You know, so like saying something nasty to one person between two people, you know, that is totally different to saying it on social media for the humiliation. Do you know what I mean? For the humiliation, for the shame, you know, videos are shared, pictures are shared. So it's like a platform of just, you know, devastation to some people, you know, and I mean, you can't say something and then take it back. The police can be involved. So we've got young people who are run the risk of being, you know, criminalised as well, you know, so that is going to affect where they go further on in life, isn't it?
It's a platform of, what was the word there?
Devastation.
A platform of devastation.
It was devastation, yeah.
I mean, I don't think that's quite like Facebook's, like, tag or Instagram's, like, thing, slogan that they have.
I don't want to copyright that.
But that was quite something. But that idea that social media, it's there, and it's those conversations which took place between you and another boy in school, you and another girl in school, but then that conversation but actually played out where everybody else in the school can see it, not just now, not just in a week's time, but in a month's time, 3 years' time. It's always there. And we didn't have that when we were growing up.
No. And if you get someone who doesn't share it with the parents or they don't let anybody know, you know, and they can go on for months self-excluding out of school, and then that's an impact on your mental health. And then it just escalates and escalates, doesn't it?
So at what point do they arrive in front of Dr. Simon?
Wow, depends which way they come through the services. Because we've got, you know, in Liverpool we're commissioned across 10 different services that work together, from the NHS all the way through to kind of voluntary services. So there's multiple ways that you could get to see Dr. Simon Lewis. I guess it's when somebody's mental health is at such a point that it's interfering with how they're able to live their everyday life. So stopping them from socialising or hanging out with their family or working, that kind of stuff. And that's when they might find their way through to my service.
Because I wonder whether or not actually if, you know, Natalie, if it's something that you can deal with through Bully Busters or the Young Person's Advisory Service, if you can deal with, almost like going to Simon as a not a last resort, but if it can be done within a community, and it can happen. Those communities can be school communities, they can be obviously neighbourhood communities as well, the pastoral staff that work within schools and things like that. Presumably, if you can get that in there, that's a sign that you've recognised it early on.
That's the whole point of our strategy. So we're in every school between every secondary school, every primary school, and our strategy is to use Dr. Simon Lewis as a consultant, really, so we can work with the young people before they get to the level of not being able to function. So we're advertising our services, and it's about, they can come into YPass, so it's a one-stop shop. They can be coming into YPass for a cup of tea. It's like destigmatising. It's a youth centre, so we build relationships with the young people, and then they may need referring, but it's not always a mental health issue straight away. And that's the good thing about having that one-stop shop. It's really important.
So the less work for Dr. Simon, the better, basically.
Yeah.
I'm not on my own. There's a whole bunch of us over on
Sally. With parents and teachers. Teachers can ring us. So it's sort of like anyone who's got any concern can ring into our phone line. So we will sort of, you know, we will speak to parents, we will speak to teachers at, like, great length as well, you know, and then we'll work with the young person or young people, you know, to try and stop it, you know, going further down that ladder.
So there's this new Liverpool CAMHS partnership. CAMHS, can somebody explain that? CAMHS for our listeners?
Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services.
It's going to come up a lot on the show, remember it. We'll have to repeat it many, many times. There's a new partnership, and the number of people involved in it, Advanced Solutions Community Network, the ADHD Foundation, Bernardo's Action with Young Carers, Bully Busters, Fresh CAMHS at Alder Hey, Live PIP, Mersey Care Trust, Merseyside Youth Association, the MYA, PSS Spinning World, and the Young Persons Advisory Service, and Gay Youth Are Out. That's YPass and Gyro. So there's lots of people involved in this, and the numbers of support levels that are there are incredible. There are things that you guys are doing now as a result of the work that you're doing, which includes drop-ins, as we mentioned, and we'll hear about that in the second part of the show. Sexual health issues, mental health issues, peer monitoring, crisis support, transgender provision training, digital technology, parenting support, public mental health and wellbeing promotion, medication support as and when required, perinatal early years offer, substance use school support. This is huge.
Yeah.
This is absolutely massive, Dr. Sandler.
Yeah. We're like at the cutting edge of what's going on in the UK at the moment.
Well, I was
going
to say, what's Liverpool doing here that other people aren't doing?
Working as a partnership, like recognising that mental health is everyone's business. It's not just that, you know, you have to go to a hospital, you have to go to Alderhay because you've got a mental health issue. Everybody has mental health, and so everybody should be looking after their mental health. So in Liverpool, we are commissioned that way to really think about providing services that are accessible to young people, no matter where along that spectrum they are. We're also doing like self-referral, pre-referral stuff, so we're just making sure that young people, families, professionals can get the help, advice and support they need as quickly as possible.
I like the sound of psychosocial education.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Psychosocial education. It's about educating somebody about their emotional health and well-being and the impacts of wider society on that. You know, it's moving away from thinking there is mental illness and you've got to be diagnosed and then you'll understand what's going on for you. It's thinking about how do you understand what's going on for you in the context of what's gone on in your life.
How do you make, Natalie, I just wanted to bring, obviously there's the work that's been done there and obviously all those great organisations, it's wonderful that so many are getting involved. But yeah, obviously for a young person, their main points of contact might be their mum and dad, their brothers and sisters, then their groups of friends, then maybe their teachers, maybe sports coaches and people like that.
Yeah.
How do you make sure that those conversations that continue up the line, if you like, that those conversations?
It starts from age 5, doesn't it? Like, well, age 4 when, like, in we start school, that is when we, you know, Emma started to speak to them. But we're just doing peer mentoring programmes. We've just been doing it. I've been with Lee from NYA doing that over the past couple of days. And that is, you know, the young people there, they ask to come on that. So, like, they've got an interest, you know, they are affected by it. You know, there is something important to them. And that is where they are looking after their own mental health. Also being aware of their peers' mental health as well. Positive mental health as well, you know, what people like. We talk about, you know, the stresses of growing up. And, like, we sort of say to them as well that, like, what someone might find a stress, another person might really, really like. So it's all about different things, you know, exams, fashion, your image, everything like that. But it's about the young people supporting one another, and it's about each school having someone who, like, they can talk to, who they can go to. But, like, the young people are taking ownership of, like, that. So hopefully then, that because that is from them, then that might appeal to their age range, maybe.
Do people, Val, talk about the feelings? Young people, you'd be a bit soft if you were talking about your feelings when I was growing up. But if you talk about this within a mental health thing, are young people open to the idea of, even if they don't feel like they're talking about their feelings, talking about what they like, what they don't like, what they like about maybe what somebody said, what they don't like about that?
And I think that's the importance. It's the environment we're creating. So the one-stop shops, the hubs, we've got drop-ins in schools and young people are coming to speak to us. And it's about that relationship. So we have a lot of frontline youth workers in the schools, and they're trained to have them relationships with young people. So, yeah, I think young people are really open to speaking.
It's part of the wider mission as well.
Yeah.
So we offer interventions to young people, but a massive part of what we do is about smashing stigma, getting out there and letting people know it's okay to talk. In fact, it's a good thing to talk.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's a festival taking place, the Epstein Theatre, and it's 7th, 8th and 10th of February, and people can get tickets via the website, Liverpool CAMHS, now again, CAMHS, CAMHSFYI.com. That's Liverpool CAMHS, FYI.com, where people can find out more information about that, but also how they access the service. And this is the key thing now, in terms of how people can access it. Simon then points to Val. Ask her about that one.
So access CAMHS, they can walk into any of the drop-ins, they speak to a teacher, so all teachers in all schools know about CAMHS, so any pastoral teacher, you can speak to them, drop in one of our drop-ins, FYI website, YPASS has got a comprehensive website. The good thing as well, we're open out of hours, so we're open of an evenings when the young people have asked us to be open, so we are delivering. So if we need someone from Alder Hey, they will come over and deliver the service in the young person's space. So that's really important as well.
And tell us about the timeframes, because one of the things that people hear about and the concerns is that it might be waiting for months and months and months, but a drop in centre, you're making immediate contact with somebody.
Immediate contact, yeah. So you might wait a bit longer for a specialist intervention, but there will be that support, someone there to support you. So we have what we call information, advice and guidance workers, or key workers, and you literally can have an appointment with them within that day. You drop in, they'll talk to you, and they will do psychosocial education about you helping yourself while you're waiting for that appointment, and they'll do the assessment. So straight away you feel as if someone's listening to you. Again, that's a big one for parents, because they just want some advice of how to support their young person.
Natalie, does it feel like you're part of Bully Busters? Do you feel like you're part of a big team now? Lots of people working together to try and get the same kind of results.
And that is hopefully going to recognise them now. Like, you know, like bullying is only like, you know, it is just one piece of the pie, isn't it? So it is a brilliant thing for young people, you know, to be able to have somewhere to refer them on to, you know. So, I mean, you feel as if you're helping them right through the process, really.
Absolutely. We're going to hear about some of those hubs in the next part of the show. So, guys, thank you for your time today. I'll point people again in the direction of the website, and we'll also put a link on our social media. There'll be a link on our podcast as well. www.liverpoolcamsfyi.com. Liverpoolcamsfyi.com, and we'll put links on our social media. Thank you for your time, guys, on Mental Health Monday. Really appreciate it. Dr. Simon Lewis, Val O'Donnell, and Natalie Vaughan.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle. This is Radio City Talk.
Last Thursday with Time to Talk Day, it's all about mental health. Time to Talk Mental Health. And the Young Persons Advisory Service, we just heard from Val there, they've opened up a new facility in Liverpool. We were talking about that with a member of the YPASS team alongside Luciana Berger, the Wavertree MP. She was at an event on Thursday. After the event took place, I spoke to them on Radio City Talk.
Radio City Talk. Tackling the stigma.
Okay, so it's Radio City Talk. What a huge success through social media Time to Talk Day has been. It's all about mental health, and there's been various events happening right around the country highlighting the fact that indeed it is time to talk about mental health. One such event has been taking place in Liverpool, and we can cross over there now to Luciana Berger, the Wavertree Labour MP, and obviously a regular contributor to us here on the programme. Luciana, thank you for your time today. It's time to talk, and judging by the hubbub in the background, there's plenty been talking been going on.
There's been lots of talking going on, and you can hear there's so many people here today. We're celebrating the opening of the South Liverpool YPASS hub, which is particularly for young people to access mental health services. And it's really very, very exciting to be here, particularly on the day, as you mentioned, it's Time to Talk Day.
Yeah, and I've been really impressed by how much this has sort of captured the imagination. Loads of people talking about it through social media, different forms of media talking about mental health issues as well. This is one of those days that sometimes, you know, people would have thought 2-3 years ago might not have got a mention. This year, absolutely it has.
Well, indeed. So Time to Talk Day is part of the Time to Change campaign. The Time to Change campaign started in around 2008 just to start doing lots more to raise awareness and to break down that discrimination that exists around mental health. We've had this very specific day for the last couple of years, and it's really gone from strength to strength. If I reflect on what I did last year, you know, even more conversations are taking place, even more organisations and just interested individuals who themselves might be a carer or a service user that just want to talk about their own experience and to get it out there in the open. And we're seeing it in workplaces, we're seeing it in communities, we're seeing it in places of education. And today we're not only talking about mental health, but also celebrating the opening of a fantastic new centre that's going to make a difference to the next generation of young people across Liverpool.
Absolutely. We're going to be speaking to one of the team behind the new centre. What for you has been the outstanding thing? Of course, this is something which you deal with on a day-to-day basis. You're regularly campaigning on mental health issues. Is there something that you maybe have heard today that's really stood out, or something that struck you?
Anything in particular? I mean, it's just hearing the passion of people that work in the sector that are really committed to making that difference, to making sure that we treat mental health in the same way that we do physical health. We're on a journey. We're not quite there yet in terms of real equality for mental health, but it's services like the one we're at today and celebrating the opening of that are really going to make a difference to making that change. And having heard firsthand from those professionals that day in, day out are making a difference on the front line, connecting with young people for this service, but it might be older people in a different service. These are the things that can make a difference, and for people to know that there are qualified, interested, concerned individuals that are here to make a difference and to help. I think that's really important as well.
I know you've got Monique next year, Luciana, so we'll have a quick chat with Monique now.
Yes.
We'll hear about the centre and the work that it's doing. Luciana Berger, thank you for your time. Monique Collier is the Chief Executive of the Young Persons Advisory Service, and this new hub has been set up, and we're going to hear all about it now, I hope. Monique, are you with us?
I'm with you, Mick.
Oh, Monique, good to get you back on the programme. Just tell us, because obviously we're in a radio format here, when you look around the hub, what does it look like?
Very community-based, very non-stigmatised. I mean, like Luciana was saying, it's all about being able to talk about mental health and being able to receive a help in an environment that doesn't have that clinical environment, that clinical feeling, that clinical setting, that environment that sometimes people can feel, I'm not sure if I want to work with experts in this way. Whereas this particular centre, when you look around, it's very young person friendly, it's bright, it's colourful, and it's very encouraging to the rest of the community to come in, talk about the mental health, and allow us to address those complex presentations.
I'm guessing cushions, Monique. Are there cushions? Are there soft furnishings?
Hey, there's cushions. There's cushions, there's soft furnishings. We've had a young person coming in who's covered the seats in a very, very professional way. So all the seating looks really funky and absolutely really inviting. Because that's what young people have been telling us for years anyway, is they don't like beige, they don't like white, they don't like black plastic chairs, they don't like grey carpet, or that unless it's got a bright coloured rug on it. So we've been listening to them for years, and our city centre building is very, very similar to the way I'm describing the south to you. But yeah, it's very bright.
And it's amazing, that idea that you can have all the professionals in the world, and this is maybe, you know, symptomatic of the wider issue around mental health. You can have all the professionals and all the goodwill in the world, but actually it's about creating environments where people can speak.
Absolutely.
And that might exist on social media, that might exist in a workplace among friends, but also exists in community centres like this, where people feel comfortable. They, you know, they make the decision to talk, and then when they get to that point, maybe they don't feel like they want to do it in a particular environment. This changes that, doesn't it?
Absolutely changes that. And that's what this is all about, this South Community Hub, and we expect to be open in the North in the next few months. This is what it's all about. It's about improving access and allowing people to enter environments to have those real complex presentations addressed in a non-stigmatised environment. They don't need to be in a clinical setting just because their presentations are really intense. They can receive therapy and support from here, from qualified, accredited and registered therapists, social workers, youth workers, information advice and guidance workers, and it's what we've been doing for many, many years. What the community hubs allow us to do is, our model is actually called YPASS Plus, and the plus is about the additional partners, because what YPASS says is, yeah, we've got lots of different services that we can provide to children, young people and families to address mental health. However, we know that there's other services out there across the CAMHS partnership that need to be delivering on this menu with us. So in the community, it's the YPASS Plus model. So that involves ourselves, Alder Hey, ADHD Foundation, Advanced Solutions, Bully Busters, Merseyside Youth Association, Barnardo's Action for Young Carers. So there's a collect, there's a real good collective of agencies that are here to address all of those presentations as a team.
And the sort of young people that you'll be helping and dealing with, Monique, do they need to be referred by one of those organisations, or is there a drop-in element to this as well?
That's what's great about this model as well. So they can come in via their school, via their social worker, the parent, the friend, anybody, and the biggest one of all is they can self-refer. Because that's what they've been telling us throughout the country. I want to access a service. I don't want my friend ringing for me. I don't want my mum, my teacher. I don't want anyone ringing for me. I want to also ring myself. And actually, when they make that call, they get a sense of what type of worker they'll be working with anyway. They get a sense of the attitude for the organisation. They get a sense for the approach of the organisation. YPASS's access routes are really broad.
And in terms
every
of...
door, there isn't a... So I guess what I'm talking about, Mick, is it's an open door.
Absolutely, and I just wanted to get a sense of when you're in the environment, is there sort of a sort of a laid back mentality, or is there, you know, the waiting room, and then you'll go through and speak to somebody within a different room, or is there more of a sense of, you mentioned, you talked about community and the fact that it felt like community. Is it more of a case of, you know, you could go down there and hang out for a little bit, get people talking amongst themselves and so on?
Absolutely, yeah. So you can walk in. So I'll just describe roughly this community then. So you could walk in through the community door. There's a drop-in area, so you could sit off for a while and have a cup of tea. You could give the impression that you've just come to sit off for a while to have a cup of tea, but actually you're wriggled in anxiety, and at some point today, tomorrow or next week, you will have a moment to tell somebody how you're feeling. And when that feels right for you, that's when you'll do that. You can talk it through with peers, because there's other people that are also in the drop-in, or you can all of a sudden think, actually, I feel as if I've got a real connection with that worker. I want to let them know. They'll let that worker know. Now, that worker may not even be the person that will be providing that intervention, but at least what the young person has done at that point is they've told us that they're struggling. Once they've told us they're struggling, we then capture that, we hold on to that, and then we think about the best route and the best service for them to receive. And if it's a practical support element, they'll receive that support within a week. If it's a therapeutic support, they'll receive that support within 1 to 4 weeks. However, that doesn't exclude them from dropping into the drop-in every day and having that same cuppa.
Well, I was going to say, and that's a really quick turnaround. When you hear some stories about people waiting on particular services, that's a really quick turnaround. And I guess the other thing, Monique, is that, you know, you could almost imagine there people who aren't sure about, you know, self-help, coming forward, speaking out. They might actually swing by the centre, stick their head in the door, have a look around, have themselves a cup of tea, think, you know, and then turn around and walk back out again, but actually think, well, actually, that seemed like a pretty good environment. Next time I go in there, I might choose to speak to somebody.
And that's exactly what our intention is. That's the intention of this delivery model, is to make it as accessible as possible in every way. And that's to do with the front door and our approach.
Brilliant. And the cushions. Don't forget the cushions, Mother.
Oh, and the gorgeous cushions. Oh, funky cushions, Mick.
Funky cushions, rugs, you name it, you got it all. If people want to go on social media and find out some more about this one, you've got the Young Person's Advisory Service sort of feeds that you've got going on as well. But where are you based for sort of reality? People want to come down and actually see the work that you're doing.
Okay, so we are based, so as you know, we've got a city centre venue, which is just at the side of the Adelphi in the city centre. And this one is Lindine Road, Chilwall, just past the bridge. And for those in the community, they'll know exactly where that is.
Brilliant stuff. And we'll get all the details up on our social media as well. It sounds like it's going to be a huge success and a huge benefit to the community. I know it's in South Liverpool, but right across the Merseyside region. Monique, always a pleasure to get you on the programme, and we'll speak to you again very soon.
Nice to speak to you, Mick. Thank you.
That's Monique from the Young Persons Advisory Service. Their website, you want to find out some more information about the work that they're doing or various things we've been talking about on the show, YPAS.org.uk. Letter Y, letter P, letter A, letter S, YPAS.org.uk. Find out some more about the great work being done there. Thanks for your time on Mental Health Monday for this week. I'm away next week, but we will have another show for you and a podcast as well. And then we've got some really great guests lined up for the coming weeks after that. People who've contacted the show and said they want to tell their stories. We will hear those stories on Mental Health Monday. If you'd like to join them, drop me an email, mick@radiocity.co.uk. That's mick@radiocity.co.uk. If you listen to this live on the radio, then there will be a slightly extended podcast which you can download via our Audio Boom page, but also on iTunes. And if you're listening via the podcast, thank you for downloading. Please like, subscribe, and share it with your friends. It's Radio City Talk and Mental Health Monday.
Radio City Talks Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.